thank you for coming out on a nice summer day. I'll go ahead and preach. Okay, so let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to know you. Not just to know about you, but to know you. And to see you work in the lives of us and our church and our people and bringing people back to health. Bernie said his doctor said he was getting better, and Troy and Ruby are feeling better, and others are, and we're so glad of that, that you care for your own. Help us to let people know how good you are so they will get to know you too. We're sorry that our country has taken a terrible turn, and we know that that was going to happen because we read the letters you sent us, and we know what they say, and we know the great apostasy is upon us. We know that people are leaving churches left and right, and unfortunately, our nation has left the God that founded them. Please straighten us out, if you will, and bring the truth to those who should hear it and would want to know it if they read the Bible at all. Be with us this morning as we can preach, and we hope someone is here that gets the word this morning that there is a Savior and He came for you, and that He will save you regardless of your past, present, or what's going on in your mind now, that there's no one too lost for the Lord Jesus Christ to save. In Christ's name we pray, and for His sake, amen. If you brought a Bible, turn to Mark chapter 5, and we will start at verse 1, read a few verses there. But before that, in chapter 4 was when Jesus was in the boat. And I remember the little fellow, we had a little fellow visit us, 14 years ago. What was his name, honey?
Little John.
Yeah, and what did he have? Progeria?
Progeria.
If you don't know what that is, like I didn't know, that's where you look 100 when you're 10 years old. And he had that, a little bitty fella, and a wonderful little fella, good little Christian. And his girlfriend was with him. He brought his honey to the beach. And she had progeria too. And Ann took him out to buy him a few clothes and sandals and stuff. And I wanted to buy her a ring from the church as a memento of being here. And they had to keep making it smaller and smaller and smaller for her little fingers. Finally, it was the size of a pencil, and still could slip on her finger very, very easily. Just a precious little thing. The reason I tell you that, little John passed on. He's with the Lord now. He became the oldest progerian, I guess you'd call him, in the nation. He lived 15 years, and that was a long time for him. And before he left, he said, I'm going to send you a tape. He said, they let me preach at church the other Sunday. And I said, well, what did you preach on, Johnny? He said, I preached on Jesus. Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Don't worry about a thing. And I said, all right. And I never got to hear his little message, but I know exactly what he was going to say. And that is what had preceded chapter 5, what we read today. Chapter 5 is talking about the guy that was in terrible condition. Jesus and his group had gotten off the sea, they call it. It's actually a lake. It's Galilee. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, the Bible says, into the country of the Gadarenes. So they had been sailing all night, and they're tired. And they came to this landing, and they landed. And when he was come, meaning Jesus, when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Here was a man who was living in a tomb. That was his home. He had disassociated from society and his family. I don't know what the cause was. I do know what the cause was, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But today, you see, people are blaming everything on mental health. Everybody, coward that took the lives of 9 Christians at a church in Charleston, he wasn't mentally ill. He was demon-possessed. That's what's wrong with him. and all these people who are doing such things, the answer is not the mental health clinic. Please understand, you have to take psychology when you go to college, and I made the mistake of going, and so I had to take psychology, and I didn't do very well because I'm very argumentative and very hard-headed. And I announced to the professor, I said, why is it you are willing to take information and guidance from the lead psychologist and psychiatrist? One was a sex pervert, and the other main one committed suicide. Now, if I'm going to take healthy information on how to live my life, those are the last two people I'm going to ask anything about. How about you? But now they're the forefront. You see, people used to, when they had a demon or they had a bad spirit, they would come to the preacher. And he would sit down and have a session with them and show them biblically what the problem was. Because there isn't a problem that can't be solved with this book. But now they've passed that on, and you get to pay the psychiatrist $400 an hour for you to lie on the couch, and he asks questions and goes, Well, your 30 minutes is up. That'll be $400. Would you like to make an appointment for next week? No, I don't think so. I can say to myself and to myself. I don't need that, and you don't either. So we got the blind leading the blind. In this case, the mentally ill leading the mentally ill, and the only reason they're mentally ill is they've lost their mind. And they have a bad spirit. This is about the United States of America. This is exactly what happened to us last week. How sad that our so-called Supreme Court has lowered their intellectual standing in the world to the very bottom. And what they tried to do, pass laws, by the way, any of you who have bothered to look, the job of the Supreme Court is to interpret law, not to make law. It's illegal what they did. It'll be overturned. It doesn't matter anyhow. Jesus is coming soon, and we're going to leave them all to their self. And they can argue and advise each other. What are we going to do now? We'll just wait. You think it's hot now? I think it's hot now. And I hear about global heating, warming. And I was trying to find out a little something about it, and they found out that the global warming I've heard so much about, you've heard so much about, will affect you and I in right at 8,000 years. Is anybody in here really concerned with 8,000 years from now? I mean, after all, so the seals are uncomfortable. Well, I couldn't be more upset, could you? And there are fewer polar bears. How many in here have actually seen a polar bear? None. That's what I thought. Oh, you've seen one, Marie? Were you drinking, honey? No, you saw a polar bear. Yeah. You want to make sure. Lived in Alaska. All right. Well, polar bear's a mayor up there, isn't it? Yeah. But it's so silly that we want to get upset about things that aren't going to affect us. The only global warming people in the United States and this world need to worry about is the warming that's going to come because of the radiation that's going to come from the bombs that are going to be dropped. That's the warming they better be concerned about, because when a nuclear weapon explodes, at the point of explosion is 400 million degrees. That's the global warming you better be concerned with. And we'll have idiots who'll say, well, I just won't get close. Son, at 400 million degrees, you can't hide. I don't care where you go. So don't watch your TV too much. I found that the best things on TV now are the commercials. And I love to watch the commercials. There's not many programs worth watching, but there's some funny commercials. So this man has a bad spirit, he said. And he said they came over to the other side to his country, Gadarenes, and a man hopelessly possessed came running out of the tombs. This is where he lived. And he had an unclean spirit. Now, people today don't believe in unclean spirits. People today don't believe in demonology. People today don't believe there's a Satan. People today are going to cure everything with a big smile and a good attitude. No, you aren't. You're going to die grinning because the war is still coming. And there will be a third world war, and it's about to start. But we can't figure that out. And so maybe we need to get a little bit closer to God because he's coming soon. He's not going to let us go through that. Isn't that good news? We are to be saved out of. Exit is. That's what the exit sign means here. We are to be not saved through the tribulation, but we're to be taken out of. It won't touch us. It's good to know that, is it not? That we have a shepherd that looks after us that closely. So this man came out of the tombs, and that's where he lived, said we, and had his dwelling among the tombs. Now, do things really get that bad in your mind that a man will start living in the tombs? In the graveyard? I mean, that's like moving in one of the outhouses out here. He said, I live at the beach. Where do you live? Right beside the pavilion? Yeah, I know. In the toilet. How does a man get into the position that he lets himself get in that position? Now, he's crazy as a loon because the spirits have taken over his mind and body, and he was completely wild. Nobody could bind him. Nobody could lock him up. They tried. They went out to the graveyard, and they tried to lock him up, and they tried to put chains on him. And he'd just break them. You imagine such a thing? I imagine, Brother Atwood, you've seen a guy or two on crack. It could break the handcuffs you put on them. Their mind is a powerful thing. And we have some folks who have suggested the police. I said, I can see it now. Let's dress the police in pink so they can be seen easily. And they can't carry a gun, and they can't carry anything that could possibly hurt somebody. And this guy is to walk up to a guy with a AK-47, wild-eyed, jacked up on cocaine, and say, excuse me, sir, could we talk to you a minute? What you're doing is offending most of the people in the area. Would you please hand us your gun and get in the car, don't hit your head, and we want to take you to jail and ask a few questions. That'll work. You can see that working now. You ask any of our policemen in the house here. We have a few that have been with the police a long time. I've seen it in hospitals where a man jacked up on crack or cocaine or whatever, it'll take 7 or 8 people to hold him down. One man. And I'm not talking about the bodybuilder and the boxer. I'm talking about one little skinny dude. Can't do it. I knew a man in Greenville who he lived at Woodside. And he was completely wild. He was into everything wrong before he got saved. And the police came for him one night. He started a fight with somebody, and they were fighting. And 2 or 3 squad cars came because they knew who it was when they called. And it took 11 men to put him in a police car. 11 men. He was unarmed. He was just himself, jacked up on something. And they get this superhuman strength, and you can't do anything with them. There's nothing you can do. And you have to have some kind of treatment to take care of that. And now they want to take that away from people who need it to protect their own self. It's crazy, isn't it? Well, what's wrong with people like that? They are possessed of devils is what's wrong. That demon possessed. You have to be a complete nut to fight four or five policemen. I mean, you're out of your mind. Four or five kindergarten kids to get you on the ground. Right? I mean, they're everywhere. What you gonna do? Everywhere you look, there's one. And this guy was totally possessed to the point you couldn't arrest him. They tried tying him up, didn't work. Put chains on him, he'd pop them. They, he said, they had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And he was naked. Now, he was living in a tomb with no clothes on. That'd scare you if you walked by there and he stepped out, I'm sure. Wouldn't have to do anything. But here's a guy jumping out at people, screaming at them, attacking them, and nobody can do anything about it. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I mean, he's completely out of hand. He's demon-possessed. We'll read in a minute of how many demons possess him. Not only can demons possess a human being, but they can invite their buddies in. And you can get in such a mess and see such a mess with people like that, you won't believe it. Before they closed up Bull Street in Columbia, Bull Street, that's all you had to say, that was the nut house, okay? That was the asylum in Columbia. And they finally decided to close that down because of the expenses and put all those people in the new $1 million park they built downtown. And it became a disaster and is a disaster, and nobody goes to that park but them. But they're still demon possessed to the point that preachers used to go into the asylum and pray with people and try to witness to them and tell them that the Lord could change their whole beings. And things worked out pretty good till our precious government decided that's favoring one religion over the other, and now you cannot longer go and you cannot bring a Bible into our building. And they wonder, what's wrong? Well, of course, when you throw the answer out into the trash, why do you think things are going to get better? That's what we did this week in America, did we not? It threw the answer into the trash. How sad that we have come to a point like that, and we supposedly have 70% or so Christians in the nation. Where were they, and why did they not stand up and protest the minute that happened? Didn't do it. Not gonna do it. I tell you what they're gonna do. The good old rednecks are gonna buy more Confederate flags than they can put together in the next year, because they like a hornet's nest. A hornet's nest, you've seen one up in a tree. It's all right, they won't bother you. Hornets are good folks. They kill the bad insects, and they do the job God made them do, and they won't bother you till you stir them up. And you stir them up and then try to hide. You can't. You're going, a thousand of them going to come out of there, and they're all looking for you. And you can't. They've caused a mess now. They think they've stopped the sale of Confederate flags, and all they've done is increase the sales. You watch what I'm telling you, and watch people flying them on their cars in the South. The reason is the Confederate flag, I could care less either way. I'm a Canadian. I had dual citizenship till I joined the service, and then I, of course, became an American. But it didn't bother me any. If somebody flies the Canadian flag down here in Can Ham Week, right? Doesn't bother you, does it? It doesn't bother me. The Confederate flag, it was a war. And people in the South were on one side, and people in the North were on the other. And I don't want you to get mad, but then again, I don't really care. The Confederate flag was not about black and white. the Confederate flag was about you Yankees coming down here trying to tell us what to do. And we like the Hornets. Ain't gonna have it. Not gonna have it. I caught, bless her heart, some little lady and her husband coming out of the K&W, J&J, R, and whatever the initial restaurant is up there. And I was going in, and she turns to her husband and says, "Well, I have never seen so many rednecks in my life." By the way, why is it okay to call agriculture folks rednecks? Why is it okay to use a term of derogatory term against them when it's wrong if you use a term against anybody else? Yeah. Well, see, rednecks don't come out of Harvard. They come out of Ainer, right? And you make them mad, they don't puff up and cry. Man, they will paint their house to look like a Confederate flag. You don't know what you've done when you got into that, see. Because we don't appreciate it. And this lady's telling her husband, "I've never seen so many rednecks in my life. I couldn't stand it." I said, "Excuse me, ma'am. Pardon me. Where'd you come from?" "New Jersey." "How do you spell that?" Right. "Came from New Jersey." "Did you know the highway that you came in here on was built by rednecks? Did you know this restaurant was built by brick masons, by rednecks? Did you notice the people that cooked your food inside were rednecks? Did you notice the people that waited on you and were so kind to you and said yes ma'am and no sir and to you? Did you notice they were rednecks? Let me help you. You can't live down here without rednecks because that's who we are. We're just good, honest, southern people and we love everybody who will love us. But if you turn on us, we will protect our families with a vengeance. And that war is not over. And if you don't like it, did you notice that highway goes back to New Jersey?" Right? "Well, I don't like you anymore." I don't care. I have some wonderful people don't like me. So this dude is bound in chains and tore him up and threw the pieces around. And they said, "What are we going to do with him? He's naked. He's crazy. Send him to the psychiatrist." "Yeah, you take him over there. He's not going to the psychiatrist. Don't take the law out there because they can't do anything with him. What are you going to do with this man? At night, he's howling in the mountains like a wolf. He's keeping everybody awake. Everybody's scared. When they see him, he's bleeding because he's been cutting himself with stones. This is a terrible thing. Look at the condition he's in. Do you feel that he may be describing the United States of America? Look at the condition we're in. That's us. We live in tombs now. We're at the bottom of the pornography battle, are we not? And whoever bathed the White House that you and I own in the colors of the gay, lesbian, whatever else it is movement ought to be shot." Yeah. Right? That was an insult to every family in America. It was an insult to anybody, regardless of their religion, who stood forth and committed themselves to a partner to God Almighty. It was a total insult, and something ought to be done about it. "Well, what will?" "Nothing. How do you know?" "Because they just passed a law against something that ought to be something done about it." Right? What a sad condition that a country founded to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why this country was founded. A couple of hundred miles up the street there on the beach. First thing they did was build a wooden cross, plant it on the beach, and hold a prayer meeting. First thing they did, take a history lesson. Now they'll lock me up if I put a cross out of here. Well, we can't do that. That may offend everybody. Let me pass some news on to you. Jesus Christ offended everybody he ever met because he wouldn't go with the program. Reminds me of old Dr. Bob Jones. He used to say, right is right, wrong is wrong. Right will never be wrong, and wrong will never be right, and don't you forget it. How simple is the answer in that book? Didn't we have it good when Wednesday night everybody's car was out of the driveway because they were in the church? Now you can hardly find a church that holds prayer meetings. They let the choir practice. No prayer meeting. I took my son, I've told you, to McClellanville down there when they had Hugo, and it tore everything up. And I said, let's go look at the damage. Boy, it looked like a nuclear weapon had gone off. And there was one little church right in the middle of town. It was a white church with black people in it. People say, well, that's a black church. I say, you colorblind. The white church with black Christians in it. And I asked, I said, would it be all right if we came in to your prayer meeting? And the pastor said, I'd be glad to have you. Come on. Did you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, will you sit up here with me? I said, no, sir. I didn't come to see. I didn't come to be seen. I came to see. I came to listen, not to talk. He said, whatever you want to do. So me and Scott sat down and all, and there was a little bitty black lady. She had to be 80, sitting across the aisle from her by herself. And the preacher announced it was time to pray. And everybody in there stood up, turned around, fell on their knees, and put their elbows on the pews, got ready to pray. I said, you watch that little lady. Never seen her before in my life, but I knew what she was going to do. And she started praying, and she talking to God. In a minute, she's doing this. Yes, sir. I know, sir. Yes, sir. Would you help us, sir? We got problems, sir. We need your help, sir. We need you to touch us. And I said, just watch her. That's a prayer meeting. That's how you pray, son. You don't mumble a few words and move on. She's talking to God. And she knows it. More than that, he's talking to her. And she knows it. And they're sitting there talking to each other. Her and her father are having a conversation. Now, our country can't accept that anymore. You're just talking into the air. You idiot, I'm talking to he who created the air. There was no air when God existed. We have prayer now because he said, call on me and I shall answer. Jeremiah 3:33 is God's phone number. Don't ever forget it. Call on me and I will answer, he said. And do we do that? I'm sure you pray a little bit at home. I pray at home, but wake up sometime thinking of somebody, thinking some of you. Wonder how Troy's doing. Wonder how Ruby's getting along. Is Bernie healing? And they go right on, and then you remind you of somebody else, and you pray again. Pray again. Don't hand me a written prayer. I've been to churches, and you have too. What a pastor pull out a prayer on an index card. What are you doing even in there? He obviously has no idea what he's doing. He's not associated with the God I know and knows nothing about prayer described in the Bible. You see how far we have come? We're not far from the guy in the tombs, folks. We're not far. So we find out he's howling at night. We still got him doing that up the street here at a couple of clubs. They're howling. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now here's a man full of demons, didn't know God, didn't know Jesus, had no association with Christianity, but when Jesus got out of that boat and stepped on the bank, this demon-filled man running out of his tombs naked ran and worshiped Jesus. What would cause that? Why would he do such a thing? Jesus wasn't wearing robes and a sign saying, "Worship me." You see, that demon had lasted from eternity too. That demon, those demons had seen the Lord Jesus Christ in another atmosphere, not ours. They knew very well who he was. They knew what he could do, and that's why we sing here before we begin preaching, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." For just the pronouncement and knowing his name, knowing you know him, acknowledging you know him and are one of his, will get you a long way on this earth. And the demons couldn't stand it, because in their terrible situation, when total purity showed up, they fell on their face and they worshiped him. Can you imagine such a thing? And here he is, and they cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" How did they know his name? How did they know he was the only begotten Son of the Most High? Did these boys go to Sunday school on Sunday and then go back to the tomb? I don't think so. They had seen him. They knew his power. They knew who he was, and they thought he was coming to get them, because they are more intelligent than most folks in America, because they knew one day judgment was coming. They just didn't know what day. Same situation we're in. Do you really think we're going to get away with all this going on in this country? Do you think there's no accountability for the sins of this nation? Do you think everything we do, say, and think to offend others isn't checked off by a scribe called an angel who knows everything you ever did, thought, or are going to do? Be understood, the bookkeeper in heaven isn't like them down here. You can't alter the books. The books are the books. And one day, those who just voted for what they voted for here in our nation will stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, the supreme judge of the real Supreme Court, and have to give an answer for their sins. Bad day at Black Rock. And you can put it off and think it won't happen and make your excuse that you don't believe the Bible, yada, da, 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 da. But one day, like these 2,000 demons within this man, knew judgment was going to fall. And it is here. And what is so scary, it's not just the individual, but our national sins are getting so big that we are doing nothing but encouraging the wrath of God to come upon us. And nobody wants to think about it. We want to think about who's going to win the next baseball, football, volleyball game. You can't watch. I don't know what season it is anymore. When I was a kid, we could tell what season it was. Now you can hit the button and you're at the half of a football game, hit it again, it's the baseball game starting, hit it one more time, they're playing hockey. I said, I'm going crazy. I don't know what's going on. See? And they've taken the greatest invention ever made to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's the least thing you can see on it. What an opportunity TV is to reach the world. Bless TBN. I don't go along with some of their doctrine, but they do have some good on there. The Billy Graham films they show will get it. And every now and then they'll get a preacher's preacher on there. And you can tell the difference between a preacher's preacher and a regular preacher, can't you? You can tell those who know the Lord and those who just know of Him. You can tell those that have read this book and dwell on it and follow its doctrines, and those that look kind of amazed when you tell them, son, there's only two places, heaven and hell. You're either going up or down. You're either saved or lost. Pick one. But when you get to hell, don't complain. I use another word there that we don't use in church. Don't complain. You chose to be there. It was your selection. You chose it. You didn't seek out the truth, and you didn't know it if you saw it by accident, when a crazy man knew it as soon as he saw him. He knew. Can you see him talking to himself? He's talking to the demons that live within him. There he is. What does he want? We knew he was coming, and now he's here. And here I stand, helpless and naked and bleeding, and no place to go, and I live in a toilet. I live in a tomb. And here I stand, and there comes the Lord God Almighty. I better go and worship Him. He doesn't need your worship. You're not saved yet. How sad. Is that not the way America treats God right now? Of course. Well, our preacher must have preached an hour. That, it's not how long he preached, it's how long you listened that mattered. What I have to do with thee, Son of the Most High God? He knew he was the Son of God. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Please don't get torment and torture confused. The artist of the 15th and 16th century, you've seen those old drawings of people in hell and they boiling and doing being beaten and all that, and that's what it's all about. That's torture. Torment is being separated from God forever. That's torment. Did you no longer have a body? It's already been consumed in the fires of hell, but your spirit will live eternally. Please understand, old Dr. Jones, bless his heart, when he was 14 years old, walking down the Alabama Red Clay Road, going to hold a revival at 14. He said, I had seven sermons. I couldn't preach but a week wherever I went. That's all I had. But he said, I had one of the greatest thoughts that I will ever have, walking down a red clay road the backwoods of Alabama, headed to preach. And it occurred to me that I was going to live as long as God lives somewhere. The question is, where? And the choice is yours. Well, what if he didn't hear? He didn't hear. Nobody handed him a gospel tract. They didn't have a revival down at the cemetery. They might. That'd be a good place to hold one. So don't torment me, he's saying. Surely you aren't here to torment me. Can't we wait till later? Do you know how long that cry is going to be cried? But what did I do? I know what you were. You're standing before the Supreme Court now, son. You're in front of the Judge of Judges now, boy. You are standing at the white throne judgments, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to talk to you about a few things, and you better have the right answer. But we already know you don't, or you wouldn't be at this judgment. You'd have been at the Bema judgment where the Lord rewards you for serving Him.
Too late.
I love that ad with the little boys driving his daddy's Kia on TV. I told you the commercials were better than the programs. And he runs up to the lady writing the ticket and said, I'm back. And she didn't even look at him, said, too late. But I was only gone 5 minutes, the kid said. She kept writing the ticket. Late's late. You missed the train. Did you ever think it doesn't matter how much you miss it? Missing the train by 3 feet is no different than missing the train by 2 days. Train gone. You missed it. It's over. Then you become, instead of a well, you see, you become a butt eye. A well, you see. You know, I've taught you what a well, you see is. You tell them about God. Yeah, I know. Well, you see. Well, you need to come to church. Well, you see. And yeah, well, you see. There were well, you sees. There were Pharisees, Sadducees, and well, you sees. Okay. But then, even worse than the well, you sees, are the butt eyes. Well, son, we have a list of sins against you. They're here for everybody to see. What are you going to do about it? But gone. You're gone. It's over. But I, gone. Well, you see, gone. Nobody, gone. Get him out of my sight, God's going to say. I mean, torment and hell is being separated from God forever. Don't worry about the heat. It's not the heat that's going to give you the problem. It's those memories that will be with you forever. And every preacher you ever heard, eloquent Harvard graduates or rednecks like me, you're going to remember, yes, somebody told me that I should change my life and I should accept the Savior. But it's too late, isn't it? Yeah, yes it is. Well, God's not very tolerant. Bet on it. He's not tolerant at all. You'll do it his way or no way. Well, that doesn't seem fair. You don't get to make rules. He'll decide what's fair. See, we've gotten so sinful. We've gotten so arrogant. We think maybe we get to call the shots. No. Try arguing with a judge downtown. Well, judge, I think you're wrong. He'll say, I think I'm the judge. 2 years. But I, get him out of here. Well, you see, lock him up. That's downtown. What's it going to be before the King of Kings? You digging your toes in the gold dust, wanting to step over the line and get into heaven. You're not going. How do you know? You rejected Christ. You see, that's what happened to this man. He had rejected Christ. Those demons, they had rejected Christ. Those demons had an opportunity not to be in hell again. Don't worry about that. They chose to follow Satan. Satan did real good for a while. He's doing good now. Doing real good now. Isn't he something? Look at Las Vegas. Is there a town in the world can match Las Vegas for beauty, architecture, conveniences, comfort, enjoyment, and sin? Too bad. Too bad. How sad. I got some real estate friends here. And one in particular, I love old John. John will say, well, it's another day in paradise. I says, John, you better read that book. If this is paradise, we sure lost, didn't we? Jim and Nene. How sad. For not doing what this guy wouldn't do. He wouldn't follow Jesus. For he said unto him, Jesus said back to the man now, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what's your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Can a man be possessed by a demon today? Absolutely. Can he be possessed by more than one? Absolutely. Well, I just can't believe that. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what God said. Get over yourself. You aren't in charge. He is. And when he said this, one way, I heard an old country preacher up around Laurinburg listening to the radio driving through there one time, and he was a good old country preacher, and he closed his service. He said, and folks, you can go to hell any way you want to, but you'll only go to heaven God's way. Boy, that cut it down, didn't it? That cut it to the quick. One way. Bible says it clear. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Well, that'll offend the Muslims. The Muslims don't have a God. Well, they have Allah. Allah's not a God. He's a made-up God. Muslims are polytheist. Have no God. But Muhammad, can Muhammad save you? Did he save himself? Did he ever save anybody? Did he ever do a miracle? Well, you see, the Quran is a miracle. The Quran is a book made up. When an angel of Satan tried to copy what the angel of God had done, Satan always tries to copy the devil. Always. How is it with you? Come out of your tomb. This guy said, I besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was a high mountain and a great herd of swine feeding nearby. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. Man, how sad hell must be when somebody is volunteering and requesting to live inside a hog rather than go back to hell. I don't have to look that way to see you, Trexler. I mean, how bad is it has to be when hogs, when demons say, Lord, look, send us into the pigs. Let us live in the hogs. Let us live with the swine. Look at how they live. We'd rather be part of them than go back to hell. That's where we came from. Don't send us back there. Please don't send us back there. The demons were smarter than most Americans, aren't they? And all the devils sought them, all of them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 of them, and were choked in the sea. I mean, even pigs don't want to live with demons. And people do. And they get mad at me because I talk about folks drinking in a place that sells more alcohol than a lot of other places. However, that's their business. Well, let me ask you folks, and I feel sorry for you, who have an alcohol problem. You have a drinking problem. You've let the demon of alcohol overtake your mind. And we pray for you. Hope you'll get saved and get clear of that. Did it ever occur to you why on a liquor bottle they put the word spirits? It's right on the bottle. People drink them anyway. I mean, it's on the bottle. They know it's there. You hold most bottles up and look at a light and see there's nothing in there. Why do you want to put it in you? They've told you there's spirits in there, and they will take over your mind, body, and soul if you keep doing that. Well, you see, no, I don't. But I know. Well, what should I do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what you do. Don't see the psychiatrist. Don't go to the Alcoholics Anonymous. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm killing myself. Please help me. That's what you do. Okay. And they came to Jesus. People in the town. People went to town and told the people, you're not going to believe this. That Jesus fellow, that religious nut, came out in the country there. The man that lived in the tombs that we can't do a thing with worshiped him. Jesus touched him and spoke to him. They put clothes on him. He's in his right mind, and they sat down together and were talking last time we saw him, and the demons from him ran into the hogs, and the hogs ran into the sea and are dead. And typical of the American spirit, instead of saying how wonderful the Lord has come among us, how grand the answer to sin is here, they said, oh no, get him out of our country because he's going to cost us money. There's no telling how many hogs he's going to kill. And we have somebody up in Washington who in the last 30 days said the greatest danger to America is not ISIS, it is fundamental Bible-believing Christians. We're the danger. Son, we're the answer. You're the one in danger. We're leaving out of here soon. What you gonna do when we're gone? And I tell you, the hogs won't even have anything to do with you. We have proof of that right here. And you see where our country is? Our country lives in a pig pen. We absorb slop just like the hogs. We live like the pigs. They don't care. You know, one will mate with this one, then with the other one, then with the other one. Oh, that's legal now. Well, excuse me, does that make it right? Don't think so. I told somebody, did I tell you a while ago? I have a short memory. Good news, Bruce, what's her name? Bruce Caitlin Jenner can now marry himself. Excuse me? Isn't that what it means? Let me tell you what that really means. They teach us, our government teaches us in our schools and demands that it be taught evolution. It teaches our children they're no more than another animal, like a pig or a monkey or a hog or a dog. You're just another animal, another breed of animal. So why shouldn't you just marry any other animal, you see? You see what they're really teaching? And then I'm watching, I watch the Fox News. It's the closest thing to real news on. And I watch, and here comes, bless her heart, she's so beautiful. What's the girl's name? The blonde girl. How come you men know that? Beautiful girl, intelligent, straight A's in law school. But last night, after they passed the law or whatever night it was, they came along with Faggot of the Week, who had written a book. And he was so glad that now he could get married someday. And he's, how wonderful it is to know that me, a Christian, I said, "Pardon me? What makes you think you're a Christian? You violate the standards of this book and the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't even think you're a Christian. You're one of the many religions in our world, but you know not Christ." And that is the only person who can save a madman, somebody who has 2,000 devils living in him, a guy living in the tombs. This is the only answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no other way. Well, you're not very tolerant. I'm not tolerant at all. I'll stand with Jesus if I have to go to jail, if they have to shoot me, or whatever I have to go do. I'm going to stick with this. Because in the end, truth will win out. And of all the things I hear about homosexuality and all that other stuff, let me test and see if you've been watching the news too. When's the last time did you hear anybody thank that group for AIDS? Did we bother to thank you for AIDS? Did we bother to thank you for the tens of thousands of people you've killed? Did we bother to thank you for the hospital rates going up because now you're going to fill the hospitals with your sin? I know, but I love him. I love my dog, but I'm not going to marry him. Put it all together. If evolution is true, my dog is just as human as I am. Is he not? Is he just another animal? Just another animal? I'm an animal. Why can't I marry my dog? You see where it heads? You see where we're going? Do you see where we've gone? But let us do what we can, change a few things. Stand up for Jesus is what we sing. It's time for the American Christian community to do that. It's time for us to stand up and say, no more. No more. We will live by the laws of the Lord God Almighty, or we don't care whether we live or not. How's that? And Christians need to be heard. So don't take all this lightly that's going on. Tell them what you think about it according to this book. And by all means, we may save a few. And I hope we do. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good you are. Can I apologize for us for not standing up? Can I say how sorry I am the times I haven't stood up? Can I pray for our nation that you will inspire us one more time and revival will come? And Christians of whatever denomination will stand up and say, Lord Jesus, we are on your side. Doesn't matter what franchise we worship under, we worship you, the Lord, the only begotten Son of the living God, who gave his life that I may live, who shed his blood that I might be saved. Let us band together in the spirit of truth. Quit worrying about our various problems in the churches with different doctrines and stick to the single doctrine that Jesus saves and tell all we can about it. In Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, If you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a victory.